You're listening to the EWN Podcast Network.
Welcome to Spotlight on eWomen, the place for everything eWomen Network. Entrepreneur, enterprising, enlightening, and exciting. Please welcome your eWomen host, Phyllis Smith.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight on eWomen Network. I'm Phyllis Smith. So whether you're a parent planning to be one or you've given your parents hell growing up, good parenting is a challenge, to say the least. So after all, we hold the strings to our child's future, right? Maybe not so much. My guest today is a parenting specialist who, through her own experience as a parent and a tragedy she endured losing her own brother to suicide, she has brought a unique way to this complicated and often mysterious role. So please welcome author of The Art of Blissful Parenting and the premier parenting coach, Sharon Ballantyne. Thank you, Sharon, for being here.
Thank you, Phyllis. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you. And parenting, I mean, it is a mystery and it is complicated, right? But you have a way you have learned over the years how to kind of simplify it and not put so much pressure on ourselves. Because as I said earlier, sometimes we think we hold the strings, but we really don't. Am I correct on that?
Yes, you are correct. And we want to hold the strings. But as any parent knows, when you try, you fail. It's hard to have that control really with your kids.
Yes. And I am, having raised two children, I can tell you that's impossible. So I mentioned that you lost both of your parents and your brother within a span of just a few years. And this was a tragedy that set you on a new path to understand yourself and the world around you. So tell us about that, what it felt like for you first to lose them, and then how this path that you ventured on, and what you discovered in the impending years that changed your life.
Absolutely. Well, losing my dad, my mom, and my brother in really 3 years was completely unexpected. And I remember at the time thinking, well, this is too strange to be actually, you know, terrible. Of course, I was very close to my family and loved them dearly, but the odds of that happening seemed astronomical to me, that everybody in such a short time would be gone. And I was 24 years old and really thought to myself, what do I do now? I don't have anyone to really rely on and talk to and guide me. I need to find my own way. And I didn't have a spiritual path at the time. So I went to the bookstore and I walked through the aisles and I just asked for guidance. I said, please help me know what books I could choose to put myself on this path of not even knowing what I was really seeking, but just a better way of being, a higher way of being. And that's how I started the path after losing my family.
So tell us about that path. So what book did you end up choosing and how did that change your life?
Well, the first books I started with were Conversations with God. Conversations with God talked about the laws of the universe without saying that they were talking about the universal laws. It was obvious to me over time that they were about being your best self, and everything that you feel and think is emitted as an energy which always will come back to you in the same manner. I think we're all familiar with, you know, what you put out there is what you get back. And these books very deliberately explained what that looked like and how you could fit the universal laws into your life and be better deliberately. And so that's what I really came to want to be, was a deliberate person creating a deliberate life.
Before we go on to that path you took and how that impacted you as a parent later on, what were some of the mistakes you made as a parent that you now know is different and that you can go, that you can't, we can't fix it, folks. You can't go back and fix it. But what were some of the big mistakes that you made back in the day when you were raising your kid?
I made some great mistakes, which was really my path of learning and now is my path of teaching and helping other parents. And I think the biggest mistake I made was wanting to control my children from my own fears. We want the best for our kids. We love them and we want them to have a great life, not get hurt, not fail, But we do that out of fear because they need to have all those components in their life to truly decide who they want to be. But at one point, I was too afraid to let them make their own choices because I hadn't learned to trust their choices. And so all the time I spent trying to control what my kids ate and how they did their homework and all of their learning skills and who they hung out with, it never worked. It never worked. And it took a real big incident in my parenting to finally decide to turn that around. And it really was just it was my own choice. But it came very close to hurting the relationship with my kids. Well, I did hurt the relationship with my kids while I was in control mode, which will always come out of your fears.
Tell us about that. This is a story that an incident that changed everything for you.
Well, it was the day I gave my son back his life, literally on a silver platter. Our relationship had gotten to the point where all it took was a hello from me, and we started to argue. Because every time that my son was participating in anything, I wanted it to turn out well for him, so I tried to control the outcome and control his actions. And kids don't want to be controlled. You know, they're here in this life to create their own path. And you know what? Just like all of us, it's by trial and error. We learn from our mistakes, but I was afraid to let my kids make mistakes for a period of time. And I got in the car one day after excitedly picking him up from school, and I couldn't even get a hello out, and we started to fight. And I realized that I had just hit what I call the parental brick wall. You know, that wall where, boom, there's no more communication. And my child didn't even want to talk to me, let alone look at me. And this had been going on long enough, kind of the lead up to this, that I decided to make a new choice because we do have a choice in our parenting. We cannot control our children, but we control our own behavior and our own reactions. So I took a deep breath and I made a new choice. Not in that moment. We drove home and it wasn't a very good day. But within a few days, I came back to the table. I walked in the door and he was sitting at the dinner table. And I said, Dustin, I have some things to say to you. I'm going to give your life back to you on a silver platter. I'm going to choose to trust that you know in your heart and soul where it is you want to go and what choices you want to make. And I'm going to choose to let you fail and let you learn for yourself because that's your highest growth. He couldn't believe what he was hearing. He completely was very surprised. But it changed the entire course of our relationship. And I went on to do that with my daughters as well, because there was a period of time I had three teens that I was trying to raise and you know, make sure they came out okay, which of course they do. And the less we try to interfere with that, really the better. It to guide and inspire is great, but to control, eventually we're always gonna hit that parental brick wall.
Yeah, I had an experience similar with I raised two, as I said earlier, and my son, I remember recently, he's 24 now, and we were in the car once driving, and I love to just have these philosophical discussions with my kids, and I put their, you know, make them tell me everything, you know, what are you thinking? And then they're like, I don't want to tell you. Anyway, so I asked my son, if you were to go back looking at how you were raised, and how, you know, what mistakes, and I'm open to this. You're careful about what you ask for.
Yes.
And I asked him, what was it that you would have liked me to do differently? And I can't speak for my husband. I can only speak for me. And he said that he felt like every time he came home from school, that I was constantly asking him to do something else. It's almost like asking, he didn't say the words, but now I say it to you. It's like asking him to perform, or, you know, the idea of you know, living up to what I think is his potential or what I want to be proud of. You know, I mean, I think as parents, we're like, we have this vision of what we want our kids to do and yes, who we want them to be. And that was the one thing that he said. And I won't forget that. And, you know, we can't go back and do it differently, but I can tell you now as a young adult and in high school and in college and living with five friends in a tiny little apartment, you know, he's in Houston with the yes, flooding. And I'm like, so what are you doing for food? What do you do? And he's just like, it's fine. I'm fine. you know, and I'm like, but you're not scared, you know, things are fine. You know, I still have a tendency as a parent, we are afraid. How do we overcome that fear? Because that's what gets us into that controlling mode. How do we overcome that?
It has to be a choice. It has to be a deliberate kind of sequence of events. You know, I always like that. This sounds simplistic, but I always like to start with a deep breath. You know, a deep breath grounds us, because if we're not grounded, we're going to be reactive to our kids and to the world. So starting with a deep breath and just having faith, you know, having faith in our life path, having faith in our child's life path, they're here for a reason. And that reason is to create their own thing. And it's easier for all of us if we just can be a little more chill, pay attention to what's important to us in our life, and be a great inspiration and example for our kids. And that's how, just to be more relaxed. You know, when you're relaxed, you're not in fear. It's deliberate.
And you called this your internal guidance system. So,
yes.
So how do we, it seems to me that not a lot of people are that self-aware. So this first step in quieting your mind is the first step, I know, to understanding and allowing that internal guidance system. But not everybody gets that. Like how do you, after the breath, how do we manage that that internal guidance system?
So I love that question. My favorite word is allowing, because we have to allow our answers to come to us, you know, by not being in resistance, by not being in fear. So I think most people can relate to, you know, they have a heart space, they have their gut. It's exactly the same thing. Our heart and our gut are what guides us. But we can't hear those messages when we're in fear, when we're upset. So our work is to become more chill, if you will, to just take those deep breaths, do whatever it is that has meaning for us, that relaxes us. And it's going to be different for everybody. But to get into that space of allowing, so you can have that inspiration on how to respond to your child, on how to find your next best job or whatever it is in your life. It's following your gut and your heart. And we all have that guidance, all of us. But we have to be available to hear it. And that is a really good and easy way to hear your guidance. But it takes practice. You know, we're so involved in living our busy lives, and you have to be deliberate about it. You have to be inspired to take care of yourself so you can be your best, most open self for you and your kids.
We've been talking a bit about teenagers, and they are, that's a tough time period for
yes.
sure. There's so much going on with them. It's a magnificent time of transition, but it's also very difficult physically, mentally, emotionally, a lot going on. But what about parents of younger children? So this internal guidance system, I just want to bring a story up. I remember a friend of mine when our kids were in elementary school, and her daughter left her backpack at home. Now, if it were me, I'd be running to the school with the backpack. She did not do that. She
yes.
left the backpack and had her daughter call her up hysterical because she didn't have her backpack. And her mother did that on purpose so she wouldn't forget it the next time. That's really hard to do. And I just always never forgot that story. And my friend was so much stronger than I, because I would have been rescuing my kids, you know, with the backpack. So what do you
yes.
think when they're younger? How do we get to that internal guidance system? Because it's pretty hectic when they're little.
Okay, I love that question, because each of us are born with our own internal guidance system, and kids are really tapped into that internal guidance system. They can be more tapped in than we are because they haven't yet forgotten. They haven't yet become part of a world that is crazy and is telling them that they don't have one. So as parents, we want to be very careful to not stomp on our child's internal guidance system, because they actually know how to use it. So we want to encourage that. And I know it's hard to I was in that same kind of situation. You want to be the path of least resistance for your child, but it doesn't serve them because it doesn't give them the opportunity to tap into their own guidance if we're always there saving the day. And I know how difficult it is, because I did save the day and then I chose not to save the day. And then at the end of the day, they were better off because they had to tap in which really came naturally to them. We don't have to worry about our kids' internal guidance system. They have it. They innately know how to use it. But as parents, we can spend a lot of time, and especially with our teens, telling them they don't have it because we don't trust it. And if we watch them make choices that we don't agree with, we think those choices don't serve them. But all choices serve us, even the ones that seem not good.
Yeah, it is hard to allow and let go. I have another story. My daughter was 13. I mean, she was 13. She had shut the door. You know, she turned 13 and the door shut, right? And then we stopped communicating, just like your experience. Mm-hmm. And she was in the back of the car, and I was just distraught because I just loved being a parent. I loved being, it was like, oh, it's just so wonderful. And then when she shut me out, it was devastating. It was like somebody had died, and in a way that child died. And she was in the back of the car, and we had pulled into the garage, and I don't know, somehow we got in a fight. I got angry with her, and I said, "What is it? You shut me out. You just shut the door. We don't even talk anymore." She said very quietly and sweetly, "That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm a teenager." That was her internal guidance system, and I wasn't allowing that.
Exactly, and I hear that story from so many parents, and I experienced it myself. But if we're able to just take that deep breath and know that all is well without having to be shown that all is well in every moment, we're going to be happier, and we're going to have a better relationship with our teen. Because I think what happens is we get caught up and stuck in those expectations that take us down, and it takes the relationship down, because they are not here to live up to our expectations. They're so in the process of deciding and choosing who they want to be. And when we're fearful, we kind of throw a wrench in it.
And they're afraid, by the way.
Of course.
And so we create more fear.
Yes.
We create more fear for them. Mm-hmm. So we have to take a short break, Sharon. When we come back, you've got some tips that parents, would-be parents, can implement immediately. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Do you feel like you're drowning in administrivia? Do you have a podcast you would like transcribed to repurpose as a blog or even a best-selling book? Rhonda's Virtual Office is the answer to the freedom you crave so you can get busy doing what you love. Let Rhonda's Virtual Office give you the relief you need. Visit rhondasvirtualoffice.com and get some peace of mind today. Rhonda's Virtual Office is the go-to transcription service for EWN Podcast Network.
Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is it so hard to make a buck? I know I have. Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. What I have discovered after going from the brink of bankruptcy to running a multi-million dollar award-winning business is this. You can't build a million dollar dream hanging around minimum wage mindsets. My mission is 1 million women entrepreneurs generating $1 million in annual revenue. So here's what I've done. I've created the mother of all entrepreneur success programs that you can access online on your time. It's called Monetize Me Now. It's a 7-module online course that is 100% my success formula, covering mindset, mission, management, motivation, marketing, and measure. Come on, take my hand and I'll show you the way to learn to earn flowing revenue for your business. Visit monetizemenow.com for details.
Welcome back to Spotlight on eWomen. Here's your host, Phyllis Smith.
And we're back now. I'm Phyllis Smith, and I'm speaking with the premier parenting coach, Sharon Ballantyne. And I've learned a lot already, this whole concept of your internal guidance system. That's even not just for parenting, but just in life in general, is to honor that internal guidance system. Before we get to there, though, we do have to learn to be quiet. And we do have to make sure that we are implementing self-care in our own life. As you said, you've got to be your best self if you want to, if you really want to be a parent and be the best person and the best parent for them, you've got to be your best self first. So I love that. How about some, let's just, you know, your top five parenting tips, and there's a bazillion of them. let's start with just one, you know, let's go through, you know, five quick ones that people can implement today.
Okay. Tip number one, make eye contact with your child and smile. You know, whether it's a young child or a teen, you know, we get caught up in our busy lives of doing and doing, and we have to make dinner and we send the kids off to do their homework. And we forget and don't take the time to just look at our child, connect eye to eye, and just smile. No words necessary. That can be some of the best communication that you have with your child. We just have to stop and remember to do it. We love our kids, but they need to feel that energy coming from us. And it feels fabulous for everybody.
Yeah, and it's so simple.
Yes.
It's so simple, but I know as a parent, as who works, you know, we are, so, even if we're not working, you know, we're working because we're parents, so we're always
yes.
working. But the idea of just getting out of our head and being present, that's the thing.
Yes.
And when you're talking about being eye to eye, we're talking about being present.
Yeah.
Taking and sucking in that child and that person that you just adore and
yes.
being with them. That's, I think, don't you agree that that's what
that
they
is
want?
What they really want. So taking ourselves out of our busyness and touching their heart. Because when you look into their eyes and you connect with your smile and your eye energy, that touches their heart, which is what you really want to have with your child. All parents
okay.
do.
Parenting tip number two.
Okay, tip number two. Ask your child relevant questions about their life, but don't be attached to getting a response. We tend to ask the questions, and we either have decided what the response should be, or we want them to respond so we can have that good communication. But anybody with a young child or a teenager know that it doesn't work that way. They're going to be in their own mood, in their own place. Kids want to feel like they're cared for, so it's important to ask them questions, but we can't be attached to if they actually answer us. They just need to know that we care about them and we care about what goes on in their life.
So when we get the grunt, good or fine or nothing, how is school? Boring. We just need to learn to let it go.
We need to learn to let it go, because if we push it, I think we've all experienced it, that we're going to hit that parental brick wall, no communication. You know, kids don't want to talk about school. They're tired. They come home, unless it's a very young child, they love talking about school because it's new and exciting. That's a different scenario. But as they get older, they really don't want to, and they're really tired when they come home from school. I found it was more productive to ask them about their sports or something that is just safe, a safe zone conversation, if you will. You'll get a better response, or nothing at all.
Is it something that you can even ask your child? Like, what would be something you'd want to talk about? Or is that just, they'll probably say nothing? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, is that something to do, or is that wouldn't work either?
I would think that might be difficult. I found that kind of fishing around sometimes. And sometimes I just had to drop the whole subject of conversation, but just touched on the subjects of that I knew were important to them, like their an upcoming outing at school or a certain friendship I know gave them joy. But if I didn't get anywhere with the subjects I know they love talking about, I just dropped it and just was there with them. Just to be with your child without talking is so important on every level. Just to be there without expecting anything.
And you have to put your ego aside. Because I think as parents, I know for me, I always think, what did I do wrong? I always figure my kids are going to wind up on the couch one day in some therapist's office talking about what I did or my husband did. I figured that's going to happen, and that's okay. I'm okay with that. I feel it does take a village to raise a child. But I think there's some ego about being a parent too, in that we have an idea of what we want from them. We've raised them. They were in our womb. Look what we've done to bring you into this world. Almost like we feel like they owe us something, but they really don't. You know, how do you get past the ego?
You just decide that you are here to support, inspire, and guide your child, and to kind of live as an equal with them. You know, you want to give your opinions, but you can't be attached to them doing anything your own expectations. It's really going, and it used to be a family joke with us. Well, I know you're going to need therapy at 30, but I need to tell you this right now. So, I mean, I went through that as well, and it became kind of a fun thing. But you can always tell how it's going by how your child is reacting. If they're pushing against you, you know that wall is up and they don't want to hear it. And none of the gems that you're giving them are going to sink in. So over time, I came to learn that I ask permission not to speak with them, but to offer something. You know, I have something here I think could help you. Can I share it with you? Biggest success I've had in my parenting, and I do that to this day. And then they're willing to listen because they've given me permission to offer my gems.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. Do I have permission to ask you this, or can I give you some advice? Or even advice might be a touchy word for kids. But anyway, So I love that. Okay, parenting tip number three.
Okay, be respectful of your child or your teen's mood. And that's a huge one because we know that teens spend a huge amount of time in their hormone raging. And so their mood may not be good. I remember being with my kids and I was really happy and I wanted them to be happy. I wanted to bring them into happy. They didn't want to be happy. They didn't want to change in that moment their mood. So I took a deep breath. I honored that they needed to be in that mood and probably couldn't help it anyway. And I would gently leave the room and find my own fun thing to do. You know, you have to allow people to be themselves. And we all know if we've ever tried, we can't change our kids' moods. We have to be respectful of their mood, knowing that we can't get through to them anyway when they have those walls up.
You know, respect is so important, and we forget that. You know, parents will say, well, I'm the grown-up and you're the kid. And that immediately diminishes any confidence or independence that child has. And so by kind of co-parenting and allowing the child to sort of be part of the process gives them confidence as well. My mom was a teacher in my high school for, 35 years or so. And, her thing, and she's an amazing parent, is that you is respect. How do you, these kids till this day, years later, they come back and they write to her, and she's got more friends on Facebook than I do, and they're all her former students.
I love that.
But her thing is that I respected them, so they respected me. And that's how she raised us. She respected us and our opinions, and so we respected her. So it goes a long way.
It's beautiful, and we want to empower our children, not diminish them. And giving them respect, as you say, empowers them to go out into the world because we're not going to always be there. We want them to have a strong core, a strong internal self, and trust the choices they're making. They can only do that if we've helped strengthen that and empowered them.
All right. Your next tip?
Okay. Encourage participation with the family, but don't require it. And this is particular with your teens. Have you ever noticed that, you know, the teens, they don't always want to do the next family outing? And I was big on outings and activities, kind of became, you know, a thing in the family. Every time I tried to force my teen to come along with the family outing I'd planned, it didn't go well. I spent the whole day fielding, you know, arguments with them, and it just was not the fun that I had envisioned. So I learned the hard way that invite your teen. They want to feel like you want them there, but don't require that they participate. And sometimes it might even be family dinner occasionally. You know, let them do their own thing, because if they're not in a good space, no one's going to have fun.
Oh, I had that boy. I remember planning a whole weekend trip and we're all going to go and my son's in the car and nobody wanted to go. Yes. And I was so heartbroken. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're right. This is where it's important that you have your own you feel good about yourself and you enjoy being by yourself, because if that happens and you got to go, still, you could still do something and have fun, but you just don't bring them along.
I totally agree with that. It has to be their choice. And by allowing my teens to not be forced into that participation over time, they wanted to. Why? Because it became their choice. It stopped being at 10 o'clock, be ready because we're going on this outing. That just didn't go over well. So I learned quickly that this is what we're doing. We'd love you to go. Are you interested? Because they're people too. And it's really hard to force someone to be interested in something they're not.
Yeah, you can't. And my husband always says that you can't force somebody to eat liver and like it if they don't like it. I mean, you know, so I love when you also say they're people. They're people. And just as you would be, you wouldn't force a friend to go somewhere they didn't want to go. And it's the same concept. They're people. And you have one more tip for us?
Yes, I do. Resist the temptation to ask your child every time they walk in the door if they have homework and if they've done it yet. So there were times when my child, really the first thing I'd say, hello, do you have homework and why isn't it done yet? I learned that it needed to be their choice on their own timeline. So I also learned to encourage a leisure activity with my children before they started any of their night work, that they chill and relax and go out and play or do something fun, rather than sit down and immediately do what they've been doing all day. It's not productive for them, and it'll generally cause just another family argument.
Yeah, and we need that too as grown-ups.
Yes.
We need to step away. I find that when I step away from work and I take a lunch break, I'm far more productive when I come back. We need to have that release and release.
Yes.
For sure.
Exactly.
Oh my God. We could go on forever and I would love to talk to you forever. I do have one more question about negativity. So a lot of the things you're talking about, there is an underlying, the mistakes we've made of negativity when what did you do your homework? And making them go. I mean, there's a kind of negativity around that. What kind of implications can negative parenting have on the short term and the long term for our children? And then how do we reverse that negativity and make it positive?
Well, first of all, and I love that question, living a positive life and staying in alignment yourself as a parent is our number one priority and responsibility. Because when we're in alignment, we can only have positive parenting. It's only when we allow ourselves to get caught up in the fear, the control, and feeling like we have to shape our child's life, that feels bad to us, and it certainly feels bad to our children. So it's staying in alignment ourselves. It's being selfish and taking care of ourselves first, because we can only give from our place of being completely full. And I'm all about only positive parenting. You know, I lived in the negative parenting for a while, and I know firsthand how not productive that was. And when I changed that around, my whole life changed, and my relationship with my kids changed, because that's all I ever wanted, was to have a great relationship with them and inspire them. And we can never inspire our child from a negative place.
We're all raised a certain way. And some of us had negative parents who did made all those mistakes that Sharon and I have been talking about. And some of them weren't. But in any case, you can shift that. Just because you were raised, for example, by parents who were negative and controlling, doesn't mean you have to be. You do have to know yourself to know how to make a change. And Sharon Ballantyne can help you with that. So she is the premier parenting coach, and you can reach out to her at Sharon Ballantyne. That's BallantyneTINE.com. She'll be happy to help you and talk you through some of these challenging times. They are challenging, but they're also magnificent. And how lucky for us to be parents. There's nothing better.
Nothing better.
Sharon, thank you so much for sharing your time and your wisdom. I so appreciate you.
Thank you, Phyllis. I had a wonderful time.
You're listening to the EWN Podcast Network.